Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Dr. Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. We'll get to that momentarily. Frankie Corrado later in the hour. And the conference finals in the NBA starting tonight. And the Celtics are in Miami for game one. And it just broke that Al Horford and Marcus Smart both out for game one tonight. Those are two big pieces. Well, I haven't seen the full details. All I'm seeing is Horford is out in health and safety protocols. So
COVID.
I guess COVID, or he's not feeling well, and maybe they're waiting for the testing. I don't know, but
that's crazy.
It's still kind of lurking, man. You're into the conference final. Horford just had himself a great round, and if he's out because of COVID, if that's what it is, I guess he could end up missing the first couple of games, if not more than that. So jeez, it's still here, man. Right?
Smart's a pain in the ass player. He's good.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He digs
he's
in on
really
you.
Really good.
That team, that turnaround that team had, weren't the Boston Celtics the laughing stock of the league the first month of the season?
They started really horribly. Yep. Really off. Like, they were behind the Raptors, and the Raptors
non-factor. Like, every time they played, they just got dummied. And then all of a sudden, I was looking, and I'm like, there was, Karen, Lindsay, Celtics, a little bit of traction. I'm like, what traction? Then you looked at their record. It was just, how did that happen?
They finished second in the East. They're the best defensive team in the NBA. And Jason Tatum took another big step. He's a rock star. Jaylen Brown took another big step. And, they got a new coach. Brad Stevens has moved up to the GM position. You've got Williams in the paint. You've got Marcus Smart, who I believe he just won Defensive Player of the Year. So, you got a really smart, gritty, quality team. Yeah. And this is where they are. They finished second in the East, and now they're into the Eastern Final against Miami. The two top seeds in the East are facing off starting tonight.
Now, they announce it because they're obviously not available. Where are you at with, injuries and disclosures and that? I know.
Well, do you want to play the Daryl Sutter clip from earlier today? Because Sutter had some commentary on that. Do we have that, Mullen? I'm assuming we do. But This was Sutter ahead of game one tomorrow night. And everyone's wondering what's up with the injuries. There's always injuries. Who's going to play? Who's available? What are they dealing with? And here is how Daryl Sutter responded to the idea of him having to reveal any of that information.
Don't ask about injuries or who's playing anymore. I mean, the league should have a policy on it, right? Because the regular season, you're either day-to-day or you're on IR for a week or you're LTI, which is long-term. So why would that open up during the playoffs? Nobody should have to answer a question. Nobody should have to say a question, because all it does is, and every team is the same. Right? Why should a coach get up and talk about somebody's injury? That's like saying, well, here's another cookie.
Here's another cookie. The injury revealing is the equivalent of giving someone a cookie on the other team.
Here's the thing that with gambling, this is where the league is getting into bed with gambling companies, right? Because this is revenue. Like where is the NFL is very, very far ahead in this, correct? They've got to throw everything out there. The NHL, different animal. NBA, is they getting better?
I think there's a very simple solution. I totally understand where Daryl Sutter's coming from. He speaks for every coach, every player. I totally get where he's coming from, but this is why I always yell and scream about this. If it were up to the coaches or the management, you'd have a totally different business. And ultimately, you're in the business of entertainment. You're here for the fans. You're here for those are your customers. We call them fans. They're customers. Right. And if it were up to the coaches and GMs, no player would ever speak. No information would ever get out. And that's not good for business. And this is where the league has to step in. I think there's a very simple solution. At noon, day of, you have to reveal your lineup. It's very simple. You can't sugarcoat things. You can't say, well, maybe I'm going to make a change. Like, that's the way because the idea of allowing it to be the way of Daryl Sutter, what if Markstrom doesn't play tomorrow night? and you don't know that he's not available because he's dealing with something. And to your point, Noodles, you've been laying bets. And I get it. If you're not into gambling and you don't bet or whatever, then it doesn't matter to you. But
right.
The NHL is in bed with those companies.
That's
and they're
right.
in bed with those companies to make revenue. And guess why those betting companies want the NHL? So that people will bet on those games.
Right.
And you're going to lose bettors if they feel like they're getting screwed because
Damn
they don't
right
have the information that's necessary.
Here's the only thing that I would bring up, and both of you can speak to this too. There are legitimately, and I've seen it before, game time decisions where
yep.
a guy can't get something warmed up, but he gets out and warm up, and the adrenaline gets going, and he's like, I can go. So what do you do with that? That would be my
know.
Only caveat. It's
I
like,
don't know.
Hey, we've got here's our roster that we want to play tonight. This guy is a game time decision because we're not mm-hmm. sure of his, you know, Leon Draisaitl. You know, he's playing tomorrow. Ken Holland announced it. The guy hasn't skated in a couple of days because we all know he's got something going on, like a high ankle or a knee or whatever it is. The guy's just trying to get to the ice.
Can you imagine some degen gambler being at a game thinking Markstrom's going to be the goaltender and some e-bug wheels up for warm-up and
exactly.
the guy's got his whole life on
Five
the game.
Grand. Yeah, exactly. But that's
I
that's
hear what
the
you're
only
saying,
thing
Noodles,
I would
that's
tell.
What makes it complicated. And that's the way the NFL dances around it is, you know, you've got to list someone as, you know, is it probable, is it doubtful, is it whatever terminology they use. And a guy like Belichick will just list basically the whole team as
probable,
you know, as probable or doubtful, so that it almost allows for an out. And I don't know how you police it. Obviously, the NFL does a pretty good job of that, but you're never going to get it perfectly.
Right.
And again, I don't even know that it has. I don't think you need to announce the injury as much as you need to just announce who's playing. Like,
right.
That's really what is at the crux of it here. Like, if using Calgary and Edmonton, like, if Draisaitl isn't playing, that is a massive line movement, a
right.
massive decision maker for gambling and for making, you know, some sort of a call. If the goalie, if you're going to, like, that is, you're right about the game time decision. The coach who's like, I'm just not going to tell you who's starting in net, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that's one, you know who's starting, they're both healthy, you've already made up your decision, you have to announce that at noon. You have to
right.
make that decision. You know, that seems reasonable to me. And if the coaches don't like it, well, they don't have a choice.
Right.
You're the owners. You tell them the way the rules work. Like, Daryl Sutter will do whatever he's told.
Right.
And if he doesn't, he gets fined $25,000 every game. And then eventually he'll do what he's told.
Right.
Right.
I guess
not. That's just the way you got to operate.
Yeah. There's no secret who's starting in goal. What would move the line is if, you know, something like here with the Celtics, like unavailable because of health and protocol. You
absolutely.
Know, like
absolutely. That's those are two big players. Like, Smart's hurt. I think he's got a foot injury, but
right.
Smart and Horford are out. I'll bet you the line has already changed. I don't know what it was 20 minutes ago,
right.
but that's line movement, man, for sure.
Exactly.
Anyway, Frankie Corrado a little bit later in the hour. Let's fire up some confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
I can confirm that confirm or deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 NX350F Sports Series 1 from just $328 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Confirm or deny weekly at this time. We know the way it works. A statement is made. We go around the table. Do you confirm it will happen or do you deny that it will happen or should happen? Ready?
Go ahead.
Confirm or deny. The Calgary Flames should be a big favorite to win this series, the Battle of Alberta.
Yes, that is confirmed. There's a bunch of different reasons, but I'm going to get into one spicy meatball that's a very obvious one. What do you think it is?
97.
No. Calgary Flames, I said. You said Darryl Calgary
Sutter?
Should be.
Yes, Calgary no. being the big favorite. Markstrom.
Right,
Markstrom's in net, and Mike Smith is in the other one. And Mike Smith's done his job. He's got them through the first round. Miraculously, he pulled it together. I didn't know what he was going to bring to the table. But when you get this matchup, I think Markstrom makes it, like, it's just a big-time favorite.
It is. Where I was saying and why I threw 97 out there is I think Calgary's a better team on paper and, deeper and all of that type of stuff. But what makes me waver is 97. He's possessed. Like, game 6 and 7, he was not being denied. So is he going to...
It's very true, Jamie.
Is he going to tilt in favor? Because I think the Oilers have some depth there. Like, they've got guys in the bottom of their roster now that compete and play hard and are physical. Mike Smith would be the X factor. But it's just 97. He might steal one or two games himself just based on I'm not being denied. That's what tilts it, like it's not a slam dunk that Calgary is huge favorites for me.
All right, so you're denying it. I will deny it as well, also because of the history. I think the emotion in this series, there is going to be so much emotion up and down, that highway and from Calgary to Edmonton. I was speaking with an Oilers alumni who's heading out there, and he said he's so jacked and he can't wait. I think there's going to be a lot of alumni for the Flames, a lot of alumni for the Oilers.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be wild in both cities. I think Calgary is the better team. I think Calgary will win, but I think there's too many different variables that drag it closer to them being a favorite as opposed to a big favorite.
Right.
Confirm or deny, Phil Mickelson will not play another major tournament in his career.
I'll deny that. I think somehow he resurfaces. I don't know if he just wheels into Augusta when he's got a pro boiler like Fuzzy Zeller. I don't know. But yeah. I just think he resurfaces somewhere. He'll weasel his way in somehow. Sooner or later, he's going to go to this other golf tournament or this other golf tour and be like, what the hell am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Although he might be stuffing his jeans with hundos, I really believe he's going to say, what the hell am I doing right now?
Yeah, I can see a sense of embarrassment if he's out there slashing it around with, guys that just are not of the same stature as him. You know, he's paired with Jason Kokrak, and he's up there doing a co-presser with Kokrak. He might be like, I need to get the hell out of here and back on tour.
But, dude, how many guys, like, what kind of field? Are they going to have Kokrak and Mickelson and Kevin Na, three-man field? Or
listen,
what's going on?
Your boy Ricky Fowler did not close the door on it yesterday. Ricky Fowler came out and said, I'm not sitting here saying for sure I'm not going to play in that league. He might pull the shoe. He might not have a tour card anymore because he never makes
it. Dude, I was watching him today. How is he even in the field at the PGA?
He is not even close.
Well, he's going to make some cash.
He might. He might. I'm going to deny it, though, too, quickly. I think he plays it in some major at some point again. I don't know where it is, but I think Phil will resurface. And at Augusta, he's got a lifetime pass. So even if it's in 5 years, he shows up and says, I'm going to go twirl around.
Yeah, but, dude, Augusta could say, you actually don't have a lifetime pass anymore.
They could. Confirm or deny, Jack Campbell will start for the Maple Leafs opening night next
season. Deny the injuries.
Wow.
Look, I bring up Carolina as an example. They were just like, the guy's 30 years old, and there's just really no guarantees. He can play 55 games. He's not a guy that can log. He's not a monster back there that's going to take the whole workload. And you didn't win for 2 years. Why do you have to have him? That's what I don't understand. I really like Jack. I really like him as a player. But why do you have to have him? Why do you need to commit to that? Carolina found a way to move away from both of their goaltenders and just start fresh. I don't know if that option's available, but I'm not pot committed to Jack Campbell in no way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and great point. I think they will find some common ground. It's the elephant in the room is Mrazek's deal. You got 2 years left at 3.8.
Was he even there today? Was someone talking?
What a disaster that was! I that's a disaster of a signing. That is.
Well, I mean, guy injured. You can't. Injury is.
No, I get it, Jamie. But it's a disaster. It's like two games injured, 8 goals injured. It's just like that ended up being a disaster.
You're right. It didn't go well. But I still believe I could see Jack Campbell as a starter. I'm nervous about the price point. That's the thing. Like, they don't have a ton of money to to get that one wrong.
No.
You know what I mean?
I don't think they're going – I don't think they'll allow themselves to get there. I think the Leafs put forth – you know, do they maybe go to a fourth year? Maybe. You know, maybe. I'm not sure they get over $4 million a year, though. I don't think they can. And honestly, like, Jack Campbell had a good year, and he was an all-star at one point, then it completely dipped off. And in the playoffs, like, his stats weren't great. He was good. Yeah. He wasn't out of this world. Wow, I can't believe it. Like, I don't think you're sitting here today saying, man, you got to give this guy a monster contract.
Nothing like that.
There's no
Nothing.
Way you can do that.
Why would you, like,
and if Campbell can get it somewhere else, then so be it.
I think he's going to get more money somewhere else, but the question is, does he want to go somewhere else? Because you could go to another team and make, you know, you can do the Grubauer. Go get paid somewhere else, but guess what? You're going
to
have an
888 save percentage. I'm sure he's looking to get paid. He hasn't had his payday yet. He's got to be looking to get paid.
He has that right. He has that right.
Sure he does, but he said he loves being a Leaf, which is his message. I'd love to come back. But if he's looking to get paid, he's doing it somewhere else. Yeah. That's the fact.
Yeah. Well, with all that said, I feel like I'm going to confirm. Like, what other goalies?
That's
are
the thing you've
available
got.
Right now.
Well, Darcy Kemper is unrestricted.
You like, find one, Brian.
I hear you, but
there's other teams out there that want goaltenders too. You know, like
right.
That's the thing. Like it's musical chairs. I just think that maybe you can find common ground. You know, Jack has to understand and remember too that you know he has a long relationship with Kyle. You know, the Leafs traded for him, gave him the opportunity. You're on a good team. Like, you know, they're, again, the grass might be greener somewhere else as far as financially, but it, you know, might be in Grubauer territory where, you know, literally the other day, Ronnie Francis fired the goalie coach and it's a long-term deal there. And it just didn't look
what
that good.
Mess.
Yeah, didn't look that good in net there this year, for sure. It was
no,
a struggle.
Confirm or deny, both Barry Trotz and Peter DeBoer will be coaching in the NHL next season.
100% confirm.
Yeah, I'll confirm.
That's a
that.
Lock.
Really?
That's a lock, 100%, and I'll put 500 on it on the side.
Okay.
I think Barry Trotz might have a job in a week here within a week,
yeah.
It sounds
He'll
like.
Have the pick of the litter. Has DeBoer seen the same? We love Pete. I mean, he's a really, really good coach, but is he a lock?
Well,
jump ahead of the other guys out there? I don't know. I mean, I could see halfway through the year he jumps back in. I could see him being a guy because you know coaches are going to get fired two, three months into the season.
I think he'll be 100% in training camp with the team.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I think he will. There's some teams, there's some organizations right now that need, you know, a coach that's had some pedigree. You know, and
has Detroit hired a coach yet?
No, they have not.
No.
Peter DeBoer used to coach the Detroit Junior Wings. There you go.
Yeah, Plymouth, I think it was.
And Philly,
Detroit
like,
Junior
some
Wings.
Teams. Like there's some, I think there's
Plymouth
some teams
Whalers.
That are. You know,
dude, he never coached the Plymouth Whalers.
I know for a fact he coached the Plymouth Whalers. I played against them.
Dude, I played against them too. Detroit Junior Wings.
All right, well, it was Plymouth too because Weiser was there, and Weiser is Steve Spott's nephew. Like,
yes.
It doesn't matter anyway. Plymouth, Detroit, Red Wing, Junior. Who gives a crap? Like, it really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I came over the top, and it was unnecessary. Peter DeBoer, Barry Trotz, confirmed.
In Plymouth Whaler.
It was the Plymouth Whalers. I know for a fact it was the Plymouth Whalers. But
I'm looking it up right
Detroit
now.
Too.
Now it's bothering me. Coaching Plymouth Whalers for like 10 years. No, how many years? 5 years. Kitchener Rangers and Detroit
Kitchener.
Whalers.
There you go.
It wasn't the Detroit Whalers. It was the Detroit Junior Wings.
There was
Let's
Detroit Whalers in 95-96 he coached. And then he's assistant coach for the Detroit Junior Wings in 94-95.
There you go. How about that, O?
So you're both right.
Guys, we've got to move on.
I confirm or deny. Sidney Crosby has the power to demand Evgeny Malkin returns to Pittsburgh.
No. You know why? Because it's not Mario and company. It's Fenway Sports Group. Who let Mookie Betts run away. They don't care what Sid says. They call the shots. 100% deny.
Interesting.
How do you argue that point?
I.
You think Fenway Sports Group, who let Mookie Betts go, probably at the time, maybe the best player in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You think they care what Sid thinks? Wrong.
I don't, but where does Burke come into play? Where does Hextall come into play? You know, like what?
Well, they'd obviously be charging the mound, yeah, saying, "We got to be able to do this."
You would think.
Charging the mound.
and what? Listen, if that's how ruthless they are, and it's a valid point, and it's a legitimate example.
Berkey would be coming out of his office like George Brett coming out of the dugout with the pine tarts.
Remember how furious he was? He went
was
nuts.
Losing it.
I've
try
never
to get
seen
us
a
that
more
joke.
Angry person on earth.
No. Get us George Brett, Joe
George
from
Brett,
the bridge.
The pine tar. That, yeah. There was a lot of pine tar on that bat, but still, it was outrageous. They called him out.
Yeah, get the George Brett, and that'll be Berkey meeting with Fenway Sports Group.
And you see, you go back, if you see the George Brett trot, too, he's so happy he hit that home run.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right about Berkey. I mean,
that'll be Berkey for sure.
It'll be George Brett storming out of the dugout. But who's to say then Sid is there the rest of his career? Like, yeah. I know he's got no trade, no move and all that, but if this really gets ugly.
Dude, who knows what they got in store. They better know, though, that before Sid got there, that place was a mess, and they were talking about shutting the doors
sure
on
was.
That joint.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure was. But, yeah, I guess you sold me. I'm going to deny it as well. You would think no one in hockey has more power than him in terms
right.
of a player. And if Malkin wants to come back and is willing to be reasonable in terms of a contract, you would think that he would have the ability to storm in like George Brett, Sid, say, hey, this is my boy. What the hell do you think you're doing here?
Who knows where these people are from? If they're not like born and bred Pittsburgh people that are aware of the history and saw these kids come up and know how much they're just like, that's just a person. Here comes Berkey going to the Fenway
thing.
Sports people.
I know, but even before that, I watched
Sign Malkin!
I think it was Billy Martin, the manager of the Yankees,
that
was pointing to it, saying, hey, you got some problems here. I think he greased in there and got into the ump's ear.
I think he was known for a meltdown too, wasn't he? Billy Martin would snap all the time. Remember Sparky Anderson, that little runt?
Yeah.
Start yelling at people.
Sparky.
I loved it. Those managers have flair.
That's the beauty of, exactly, personality, human element. Yeah.
Sparky and
like
Jimmy Leland just blowing darts in the dugout.
Jim Leland smoking darts all game in the World Series.
Dude, I'm like, you can talk about, like, painters love darts. Brick guys love darts. Framers dart. Jimmy Leland loves a heater like no one's business.
Mm-hmm. I heard a story. Oh, man, I can't remember the details. Someone was talking recently about being in his dugout and him smoking and just how it was just constant. Like, he couldn't. During the game, he'd be blowing darts all the time.
Isn't that insane how the world has changed? Like, I know people used to smoke on planes and all of that, but, like, you know.
What about office space? Like, people just ashtray at the office? It's like, how could that ever
have
been allowed?
With a cocktail. With a dark scotch at 10 in the morning.
Poured a rum for somebody who came in for a meeting. You're having a rum and a dart.
And if you didn't have it, you were like, oh, you're out. I can't trust you. Well, you're not going to drink a four-finger scotch and a dart at 10:30 in the morning on Monday in this meaningless meeting we're having about nothing?
Yeah.
How dare you? You're not a team player. All right, moving on here. Confirm or deny, Tiger Woods has a legitimate shot at finishing top 10 at the PGA this weekend.
No way. He misses the cut, and I hate to say it. He misses the cut. He hasn't played, man. Like, you just can't show up with half a leg and not get any reps in on a tour event. The old Tiger Woods, maybe. This guy can't. I'm sorry, he misses the cut.
Oof, that's tough. That's harsh. I want him to make it, just because I...
So do I, Jamie. He's my favorite golfer of all time, but I just don't see it happening.
Couch
my journalistic
to
integrity
win.
Won't let me just say, because I love Tiger, he makes the cut.
Well, I don't know. Jeff McDonald is storming you right now, like George Brett. Exactly. You talking bad about Tiger.
Yeah.
Like that is Jeff McDonald coming towards you.
There's right Berkey. Now. Sign. Sign knocking.
The Pine Tar is Gino willing to sign a team-friendly deal. And there goes Berkey snapping.
I love it.
All right. Tiger, I'm going to deny it top 10. I think he'd make the cut.
Yeah.
I think he will make the cut. I'll put some action on that. But top 10 is a different story. It's a big field. It's a great field. You know, I see something similar to Augusta, like a quality first round and then slows down a little bit, grinds his way into the weekend, and then everything else is just kind of – yeah, exactly. Like you're just kind of out there having a good time and trying to get your feet wet. So
yeah, I'm denying.
I'll deny top 10, but confirm that he makes the cut. Confirm or deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 RX 350F Sport Series 2 from just $348 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. All right, we got to start looking ahead to the second round. Frankie Corrado will join us to get into that. We'll start maybe talking about how we see these all playing out. We got the conference final beginning in the NBA as well. And the Jays are back in action tonight with Jose Barrios on the mound. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
I love me some Frankie Corrado, boy. Just a wonderful human being. He's going to be a rock star, but he already is a rock star broadcaster.
Is he a good golfer, though?
Who cares? I told him today, if he tags me in one more Carlo or AK video, I can't do it.
Bang!
No.
I know.
No.
I saw that as well. Like, Koronic making a four-foot putt. Are we supposed to be impressed by that? Or
what is that? It's just like, when me, Hazy, when we tee it, we're not making videos and all of TSN tagged in it. You know why? Because nobody cares.
No, I don't think anybody would care about that. But I guess we have to allow Frankie to defend himself. Here is our buddy Frankie Corrado. So, Koronic rolls in a four-foot putt. Why did the world have to see that? Why did everyone need to be tagged on that?
Well, it was for bird, first of all. And all three of us birdied the hole. And someone in the foursome said, hey, get this on video. You got to get this on video. And sure, okay, so I get it on video. And sure enough, AK makes the putt. So, everyone's kind of, giving him some props. And we're like, okay, what are we going to do with this video? And it was decided that it needed to go on Twitter, and we kind of ran through some of the people that we should tag, and that's kind of who we landed on.
Well, thank you for not tagging me.
Yeah, you know the rules going forward now, buddy. I told you the rules going forward.
I got a text that I should not be tagging O in those videos anymore. We'll leave it at that.
I told him, I said, bud, you tag me again in one of those videos, I'll blow your house up. I said, I cannot read those. I can't. I had to tell a restaurant the other day, it's like they just, they tagged 35 people, and then you get the comments. Every time somebody comments, I said, can you just please not do it? I can't do it.
Can you confirm something? Like, when Corona hit that putt, did Koliakovo yell out, bang?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Bang!
Of course he did.
He did. I thought I heard
that. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not only exclusively heard, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on TSN Radio. He says that in real life.
We had quite a few, there was a lot of Carlo yelling today. We made some putts. We hit some good shots. If you were on the other hole, you definitely heard us today.
Yeah. Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And, yeah, I guess, posting vids, you might as well post one of a guy making a putt. At a minimum, Koronic had to make that putt. And it's good to have you here, buddy. And, obviously, you've been talking a lot about the Leafs. You've been around the team. You're a former Leaf yourself, the alumni. And what do you make of now that it's been breathing a little bit? They lost on Saturday night. They all came in and spoke today. It sounds as if they're effectively going to run it back. I mean, obviously, that is subject to change. But the general tone of Shanahan is Keith back, Dubas back, we like our team. How does that sit with you?
I think it was inevitable that Shanahan, Dubas, and Keith were going to be there next year, right? And Keith and Dubas, they go way back. They go back to Sault Ste. Marie. Like, they were together there. They did well. They went to the Kyle brings Sheldon into the Marlies. They eventually win a championship there together. And then at the first opportunity he got, he brings them to the Leafs. So, I don't even think he's even explored any other options. I don't even think that's something he entertains. Those guys are essentially, if you want to call them a package deal, that's what they are. And I guess with Shanahan, I heard you guys talking a little bit about the way he played and how it's a little different than this team is constructed. And I've been thinking about that a lot too. And The only thing I can think of, right, at one point in this organization had Lou Lamoriello, Dubas, and Mark Hunter. And if you were going to a board of members, if you were going to a big corporation and you were talking to them and saying, and they were saying, who's going to take us to the promised land and tell us how, show us the plan? Well, if you just said, well, I got a hockey guy in Lou and I got a hockey guy in Hunter, and they just want to make hockey decisions and they're just give them the keys and they're going to do it, a board of governors, board of directors, whatever you want to call it, is probably going to be like, actually, we need something tangible. We need something that we can see on paper. We need to see that 1 + 1 = 2. And so with Kyle Dubas, obviously analytics driven, you know, has a hockey background as an agent, whatever, worked in the OHL as a general manager, he can probably provide that. And so when you go to the board of directors, when you go to Shanahan, when you try and explain to people how this process is going to be, everything is probably matter of fact. Brian, you're a journalist. You've worked in broadcast. You understand narratives,
right? That's right. Yeah.
So there's no narrative driven data there. Everything is matter of fact, and 1 + 1 = 2. And so that's going to be the same going forward. So I don't think they're going to make any decisions, any changes, just to say, well, it doesn't make sense, but we're going to shake it up. That's just not going to happen.
Or we have a feel, right? Like that, to your point.
There's going to be no gut feeling, right? Like, yes. How many times have you heard hockey guys say, oh, he's a heavy player. He plays fast. And like, I don't know, sometimes I don't understand exactly what that means, right? Like it's open to interpretation, but if you know exactly what you're looking at, you're looking at data, you're looking at something a little more tangible, then you can understand it as someone, let's say, who's not a hockey guy, or even if you are a hockey guy.
Well, it's interesting. I used the Maasai Raptors analogy yesterday, and I'll go back to the well with another Toronto sports analogy that applies here, and that was Alex Anthopoulos before 2015. Where I remember we interviewed Alex after the 15 run, where they made it to the ALCS, and that was in the offseason where they made deals. Clearly, they brought in Donaldson. At the trade deadline, they went all in for Price and Tulowitzki and Revere, et cetera. And he said to us that, like, he was so committed to the numbers, and numbers are more prevalent in baseball than they are in every other sport combined. You know, like, it is a science in baseball.
Of course.
And Alex said he realized that he was too committed to that. He was too committed to the science. He was too committed to the numbers and what they were telling him, because it wasn't leading to it when he actually saw it in real life. And he said, I needed to mix up the feel of the team, the group. I'm paraphrasing here. And he changed. Like, he looked at it and said, you know what? I have a gut feeling here. I have an intangible feeling. I have a what's up in the clubhouse question that I need to answer.
Mm-hmm. And those two guys, Brian, were Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson, and he said the importance that those guys had was massive.
Absolutely. And listen, they were great players,
right?
Obviously. So that, like, that's a part of it, too. It's one thing to say I changed. Well, he went out there and got Price, Tulo, and Donaldson. Like, those are three great, great players. But the point being is, Alex has spoken about that, is that he had this epiphany. Because I think you're onto something, Frank. I think the Leafs, it's easier for them to go up the chain to the board and say, listen, 115 points, back in the dance, a one-game spin of the wheel, eventually it's going to come up black instead of red. I'm telling you, the numbers suggest that it will. And that's a sales pitch that is comforting, right?
Well, it's like everything they do. Every time they talk to the media, it's very calculated. Right, there's never a wrong move, whether it's the players or the GM or the coach. Like, everything's calculated and it's almost vanilla, right? And I kind of wonder if that bleeds into their play a little bit. The fact that everything is a little vanilla, everything's very calculated. You never see anyone talk out of line in that organization. And I could tell you firsthand, I was there. Like, I went through that Babcock situation, and how many times I wanted to hop on the mic and just rip the guy or say, like, this is nonsense, like, what's going on? But I kind of understood that I can't rock the boat here very much, because it's going to be a big deal. It's going to distract from the team, and you know the way things get in this city. But I will say this, though, like, you know, having you know, as a player or whatever, you can't have guys on your team that just float in and out of it and expect everyone to be okay with that in the dressing room. Like, I understand there's going to be different expectations for guys. Like, you don't expect a fourth liner to score a bunch of goals. You don't expect a first line guy to maybe finish every single hit. But what I'm getting at is, if there's players on your team who float in and out of it, that permeates through the room. And if you're not held accountable, there's going to be guys in that room that say, well, he can do it, so why can't I? And maybe that floats through there a little too much. And so if you're saying, well, the data or whatever my thoughts or my notions are on getting rid of a certain player, they don't make sense. But maybe to the players in the room, you need to send that kind of message to say that, we're not going to put up with this anymore. Like, we understand you can put up points. We understand, you know, you get your goals and your assists, but we need something different, and we need it on a consistent basis every night, a little more driven.
Yeah, I'm curious how, if Sheldon Keefe is back, and based on the announcement today, like Shanahan said, he's a big part of the program, and Dubas said he believes in 10 or 15 years, everyone will look back and realize how great of a coach he is and how great of a decision it is. I wonder if he has any adjustment here, you know, because he said today, you know, something along the lines of, you know, I have to have a relationship with the players. And he seemed like the respect in the handshake line was a pat in the head. Jack Campbell gets pulled in game four and he goes and has to have a conversation with them. You know, can he change that? Like, can he revert between now and game one next year where all of a sudden he's like, I'm not doing that anymore? Or does he have to stay consistent with kind of who he is and how he's operated here?
I will say, like, I played for Sheldon Keefe, and it wasn't like you walked in every day and it was a country club walk in the park, just like la-di-da situation. Like, I've seen him come in between periods and shred some guys. Like, and he's fiery. He runs hot. So I would say that there's a respect for his players, which I really liked about Sheldon. I don't think he belittles anyone. I don't think he's condescending, which I really like as well. I have no issues with Sheldon, the way he handles confrontations with players. My only critique of their game, and I think it was game six where Matthews scores the tip-in. Is that the one where Giordano takes a shot from the point and Matthews tips it in front of the net? Yeah. And I remember, I think I texted Taddy at the time. I was like, they don't score enough of those goals. Like, everything needs to be a nice play, a nice pass, a shot. Like, you know what I mean? They just don't score enough gritty goals. And when they do score one, it kind of sticks out a little bit because you're like, oh, I haven't seen a goal like that in 6-7 games. I actually couldn't tell you the last time they scored a goal like that. And you know the way the playoffs is, and especially game seven. Like, that's just, you need to manufacture a little more from in front of the net. That's the only kind of critique I can think of, because I think defensively they played pretty good. I think the goaltending was good enough to win. I think ultimately, I know you didn't get contributions from the big dogs in game seven, but throughout the series, I thought they gave you what they were going to give you pretty much. So that's kind of the only thing I can think of. And I know, like playing under Sheldon Keefe, he coaches that. Like, he coaches how to manufacture offense. He coaches the cutback, you know, the pop pass to the middle, all those nice things. But every once in a while, you need to just probably get your team in a room and say, listen, it needs to be gritty. Like, it needs to be within 5-6 feet of the net if we want to score a goal tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that, again, we got to wait until next year for them to, I guess, send that message, receive that message, and apply that message. We're chatting with Frankie Corrado. So we got four series going, two tonight, Tampa, Florida, St. Louis, Colorado. Then you got the Rangers in Carolina and the Battle of Alberta. Of those four series, is there one that you feel is the most lopsided? Do you have a lock that sticks out within these four series?
I want to say Colorado. Like, I don't know. I want to say Colorado because they're kind of dominant. Like, from the goalie on out, they're a dominant team. They play with a lot of pace. They're explosive through the neutral zone. They have defensemen who can contribute offensively in a big way. You know, so that's not to slight anyone else, but I just think that's the team that I'm looking at to win the cup, and that's the team when I watch them play, I'm like thoroughly impressed, you know, 200 feet.
I I would tend to agree on paper. It's just I'm not sleeping on St. Louis. Like that Ryan O'Reilly. Like,
no, you should never. That's
the thing. Now, if Jordan Binnington can turn back the clock, because it looks like he's taken back over the net there. He had a terrible season. Billy Huso was fantastic. There's a guy, I mean, we'll get into a different conversation, 27-year-old unrestricted free agent goaltender. You know, if Jack Campbell ends up walking, you know, Huso's going to garner a lot of interest.
Yeah,
anyways,
but
getting back
Huso's
to
Huso's going to want $6 million a year.
No, he's not ready. He's not there yet. This is a half a season of that. Anyways, let's get back to Colorado St. Louis.
Is that Ricky Huso?
Yeah.
Rick Huso.
Rick Clouseau.
But like, you know, Tarasenko, you know, like you look at their young kids, Kyrou, like Bushnevich, like, you know, Thomas, like that team. Has and you know who's the biggest pain in the ass there too is David Perron. That guy plays
all he does
hard
is win too, right?
Dude, that guy gets better. He's Benjamin Button on skates. The guy every year gets better.
But that's the
and at one point Vegas. There were teams that didn't really want to touch him, and he's like reemerged as like this performer.
He has signed with St. Louis three separate times. This is his third tour of duty there. The guy's been throughout the league. But that's what I think Colorado, I mean, on paper, and I think they will win, but St. Louis is going to make it tough on them.
I'm not sure there is a lock. You know,
Frankie, what do you think out west? The Battle of Alberta, the brilliance and the new determined Connor McDavid, or the goaltending of Markstrom and the stifling defense? Who comes out on top with that?
I think it'll be Calgary, and I tend to side with you on the stifling defense and the goaltending. But like, is Chris Tanev going to play? Is that
Don't ask Big D. But apparently he skated today. But I don't know.
Because like Chris Tanev's he's a big player for them. And when you talk about stifling D, I think he leads the charge as far as stifling teams. So if he's not playing or if he's not at 100%, you got to give. You know, what you would give a normal edge to McDavid, give him a little more, obviously. But, you know, I actually played with Markstrom in the American League in Utica. We went to the Calder Cup Finals together, and it was incredible to see him. Like, we lost in the finals. We lost the first two games in overtime. You should have seen the conniption that this guy threw in the room. He broke everything in sight. Like, that's how fiery this guy is. That's how bad he wants to win. And every time we lost a game, you could bank on it that we were going to win that game. We just needed to score one goal the next game because like that he just wasn't letting anything in. So I think it'll be physical, though. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, yeah. It starts tomorrow night. It's going to be a blast. Great catching up with you, Frankie. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, no worries. And then next time we come on, I have a KHL darts story.
Okay,
you,
perfect. So. Oh, and more vids. It. We need more vids.
Make we'll sure have you on tomorrow.
Yeah, late, like, if you want to do an after dark KHL darts story, it's no problem.
Lock it in. We're looking
Jim
for
Leland,
that material.
Jim Leland darts story. I
yes,
love it.
The Russian Jim Leland over in the KHL. Thank you, Frankie.
All right. See you guys.
There's Frank Corrado. The PGA tomorrow. You see this group? It's going to be Tiger, Spieth, and... Is it Rory, I believe? Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
Dude, the whole golf course will be on that group.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets, those three right there. And this golf report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Whatever the weather throws your way, you're covered in a new Subaru with uncommon capability and symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Come back and tee up the Jays game tonight. Two games
great
in the
golf
NHL,
report.
NBA. That's a golf report for the ages right there. Overdrive.
Yeah, Spieth playing with Tiger and Rory. That's our golf report for the day.
TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, here's a golf report for you, and this is such a golf nerd comment, but Tiger's putting a 2-iron in his bag this weekend. It's big news.
Stinger season.
That's exactly right. It's a P770, too. He's putting the 770s, which I can play. I can play the same club as Tiger. I don't know if I could hit a 2-iron, but...
Well, you got to put some nice iron covers on them.
That's right.
At some point, we're going to have to be dealing with that and the Pro-Am.
That would put Tiger over the top, I think. Some nice iron covers, courtesy of TaylorMade. Be outstanding. We got the PGA picks tomorrow. We'll be coming off another Blue Jay game tonight. We got a couple of games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got a couple of basketball games. There's still a lot going on.
Yep.
A lot going on. right? And we'll see what the Leafs have in store throughout the rest of the week, but we're not holding our breath.
No, we're done with it.
Probably not a lot. Yeah, probably not much. Some point, something's going to happen, right? Something's going to happen.
I'm telling you, something's going to happen.
Noodles.
I'm calling it.
And tomorrow we might have to get into the story I saw posted online. Pen pals who married over Zoom divorced after 3 months and they still had not met yet. Sounds like something we can get into. So we'll save some time for that tomorrow.
Yes.
We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
Maybe it was Rick Clouseau. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.